We are situated here at the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It has been explained that for great Vaishnava Acharyas, the Samadhi Mandirs are places where a lot of inspiration can be had. At those places where the remains of the great Acharyas are situated, either their direct Samadhi Mandir or their Pushpa Samadhi Mandirs, great spiritual strength and inspiration in one's spiritual life is waiting for us. Many of my godbrothers have told me that in the Samadhi Mandirs, both in Vrindavan and here in Srila Mayapur, they had almost transformations happening in their lives because of the intense and direct presence of their spiritual master, which can be felt in the Samadhi Mandirs. Once Srila Prabhupada said about his own spiritual master that just like the grandfather is more merciful to the grandchildren, also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would be extremely merciful to us. So therefore, I am very glad to have been given the opportunity to speak today at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Samadhi Mandir. So please be so kind to give your attention to what we have to say about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because you might today here in the Samadhi Mandir, not because of the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who's most of your grandfather, experience that strength and inspiration which is to be obtained in Samadhi Mandirs. Because there are so many details to talk about, I have made a few notes so that I don't get lost and can pursue a red thread which leads us through the life and the instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur can be described as a child which was very much prayed for in a desire child. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his divine father, prayed to Lord Vishnu for what is called a ray of Lord Vishnu. It's like the ray carries the power and the light of the sun. A child which has been prayed for by a great soul and which has been sent by the Supreme Lord is called a ray of Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada describes this in one of his purports in the third canto. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for a ray of Lord Vishnu because he needed a very powerful personality to help him spread the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who would continue his work after he had disappeared. Let us now look a little bit in the historic times. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for a ray of Lord Vishnu, the English people had India in their grips and had a very thought-out plan to westernize India by making a lot of bad imperialistic tricks. For instance, they would cut the thumbs of the weavers so that they could not prepare their own cotton. In this way, Liverpool and Manchester mills were giving an economical boost because all the cotton had to be exported from India, prepared in Manchester and Lincoln, and then be purchased by Indians from England for a high price. They made a whole nation addicted to tea drinking by deliberately putting up tea stalls and serving out black tea for free until everyone was addicted and bought the fairy tale that you cannot survive a day if you don't drink a cup of tea in the morning. Today, maybe many Indians are still brainwashed with this illusion, and the tea industry set up by the British flourishes. There are many such things. In addition to the attempt of the British to drive away India from its spiritual roots and its self-sufficient roots, there were a host of Mayavadi teachers and of Upper Sampradaya who did the worstest of sexual improprieties in the name of following Mahaprabhu's religion of love or bhakti movement. So it was a difficult time, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore requested for a ray of Lord Vishnu, a specially empowered soul. And in this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur took his divine appearance in Jagannath Puri. During Ratha Yatra, the cart of Lord Jagannath stopped directly before the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where the little Bimal Prasad at that time was only an infant. And his mother took that opportunity, she took the little boy and climbed up the Ratayatra car. Naturally, being the wife of the governor, the magistrate there, she was not stopped and could come place her child directly before Lord Jagannath. And at that moment, a garland fell directly from Lord Jagannath's head and encircled the little Bhima Prasad. This direct sign of Lord Jagannath, this sign of mercy to the little Bhima Prasad, was a forecasting of the wonderful events which were taking place after the great orchestrator Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. His life actually is a wonderful illustration of an empowered personality, and that was one of the first signs. There were others as well. When he was born, the umbilical cord of his mother was surrounding his head like a perfectly immaculate brown thread which wrapped himself amongst the body. There were many wonders which sign that he was a personality who was extremely special. Let us, however, move on to his youth. With 12 years, he got the initiation into the Narasimha Mantra and the Hare Krishna Mantra, and started to worship a murti of Kurma, Kurma Rupa, which was found by his father while establishing the house on the other side of the Jalangi in Vananda Sukhada Kunj, where we will go. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur worshipped this Kurma Rupa, who was supporting the Mandar Hill when very important pastimes of Lord Krishna took place. At 7 years, he was already developing his own language, which is shorthand, which is a special language, or let us special handwriting. In his youth, he would go and study all types of literatures, and he became famous as someone who would have a photographic memory of literature. Do you know what this is? This is an extremely useful gift of the Lord. By this memory, you would be able to retain anything which you would ever have read once. If you would have this memory, we would be able to repeat every class which we have heard verbatim. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had this memory. Let us pray for him. Only a small drop of this memory, he would not forget so much of all these important things which we have heard. So, yes, he became a well-known astrologer And I had also, when he resided in Calcutta, his own astrology club when he was already 15 years old. And the greatest authorities of astronomers came and talked with him. And he always established the superiority of his knowledge. And he wrote a book called Surya Siddhanta, which up to this time is the authority in Vedic astrology and astronomy. Later, when he took sannyas, he broke with his knowledge of astrology. He would say that everything happens by Krishna's control, and Krishna always uses the devotees in his plan. This vision went so fast, when someone asked him, do we have your lecture today in the town hall of so-and-so town? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, if Krishna wants, if Krishna does not want, we will have it in another place. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur later said, yes, astrology is a useful subject matter for materialists, but for the devotees of the Lord, it is that a devotee is no longer, so to say, governed by his past karma, which can be read in the stars, but he is governed by Krishna. This is what he said. So he later, although he was so talented, took initiation by Gokishodas Babaji. Gokishodas Babaji, there's not much known of his previous life before he took the Babaji life. He was a grain merchant, we hear. He was married, but when his wife died a sudden death, he renounced this world and became famous as the personification of renunciation. He was an extremely transcendental personality. It is described that once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to take him to Calcutta when Gokishodas Babaji's eyesight failed. He wanted to bring him to a person who is an expert in eye medical treatment. But Gokishodas Babaji said, no! I will never go to the material world Calcutta. I will stay in the dark. And although he became practically blind, there are incidents where it's clear that he could see everything by Krishna's mercy. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who had his own debating club called the August Assembly, who was a very well-known astrologer and who was a teacher for the son of a king, took initiation from Gokishodas Babaji, which is another very important pastime which we will hear. He went to Gokishodas Babaji several times on the behest of his father, but Gokishodas Babaji always said, I'm not qualified. And other times he said, I will ask Mahaprabhu. And then when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, so, can you please take me out of this material world? Gokishodas Babaji said, have you asked Mahaprabhu? This was going on for many meetings until finally, when Gokishodas Babaji was once walking over a bridge, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached from the other side. He paid his obeisances in the middle of the bridge and he said, if you don't accept me, my life is useless. And I will take this useless life now by jumping from this bridge. So this move Gokishodas Babaji. From this we can hear that we should be very, very, very desirous to become linked up with Lord Krishna's arrangement to take us out of the world, that is the Guru Parampara. We should be very, very eager to take this link. And before that, we should be extremely eager to qualify. Because our material qualifications, which we might bring us, are decorations on a dead body only. If our soul is not connected with the Lord, by the line of the cyclic succession. If our soul lies dead because of not becoming linked up to the Guru Parampara, our material qualifications are dead and dead and dead. So he was accepted as Srila Gokishodas Babaji's only disciple. And Gokishodas Babaji was so happy about his disciple that he considered himself the servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Often, when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave his lectures in the Rani Dharamshala in Navadvip, Gokishodas Babaji was sitting back where the wall was and listening and sometimes laughing. He was very, very satisfied with him. Very satisfied, in fact, that he gave Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur a blessing he did not give anyone. Many people wanted to take the dust of Gokishodas Babaji, but he would often just bind his feet and bandage them so that no unqualified person could rob him or steal him of the spiritual wealth. But when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur came and said, I want to preach the message of Bhaktivinod Thakur and of Rup and Sanatan Goswami, Gokishodas Babaji stretched out his feet and rubbed it against the head of the weeping Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So this was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's very sweet relationship with his spiritual master. I wanted to also glorify Gokishodas Babaji because we know Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would be so pleased because he considered himself the menial servant of Gokishodas Babaji. He would visit his spiritual master and do all kinds of services, although he had so many mats already established. Our Jananivas Prabhu has kindly explained to us how he started the preaching mission. He was withdrawn and lived in Navadvip because he had experienced great, great opposition by the Babajis. Especially there was one Babaji whose name starts with R, but whose name we will not say any further because it would displease Gokishodas Babaji, who was very powerful. He was a Sahajiya, but he somehow had mystic potencies. And he became extremely influential. Listen to just one incident. Once he took bath in the Ganga and a young wife was brought to the Ganga where the funeral ceremonies were going to be done. So he was bathing and he asked, what is going on there? Well, they bring a young lady who has died from a deadly disease. Or tell them, I want to finish my bath and then I will come. They should just wait. So he finished the bath. Then he went and grabbed the lady by her toes and began to chant the verses of mantras, Nitai Gaur Radhesham, and we will not continue the mantra also because it, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when he heard this, he would send his kirtan party with gongs to sabotage the kirtan. Bang, 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 because it's Abha Sampradaya. It is a nonsense speculation which has no foundation in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came and he shouted it like a crazy man. And then this lady's soul came back and she was jumping off the funeral pyre and dancing Nitai Gaur Radhesham to die later. People were so impressed by this Babaji that they became his followers in great numbers, something which we can still see going on in India with the Ash miracle. So this person preached directly against the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in Puri, and there was nothing which could be done. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur felt so depressed because he couldn't break the influence of this particular Babaji, that he went to Navadvip and just studied the scriptures, just prayed and just chanted from morning till evening for 6 years. And then this Leela took place, which Jananivas Babu has told us. So he started his preaching mission really after that time. Before that, he had assisted his father in glorious ways. Just to pick one isolated incident of his preaching power, he was representing his father in a discussion which was problematic. It went against the caste Goswami. And after he had defeated them, in a meeting where 20,000 people were, the people were so enthused by his preaching power that they carried him by force into a room and they put his feet into a water container. And then they served this water out in spoons to all the 20,000 people. And they diluted this water with buckets after buckets of water. Because everyone who saw Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in action, he immediately understood that this is the truth. See, a powerful personality has the potency that with his words he can change the consciousness of people. He says something and what he says becomes the truth. This is the blessing upon someone who never speaks a lie. If you never speak a lie, your words will have potency. Prabhupada said, if for 10 years a devotee comes to every Mangal Arati and chants early the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, his words will get such potency that whatever he says is the truth. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had this unearthly quality that he changed people's mind. And in the term of his preaching, he showed this many times. He even changed the minds of arrogant European professors, which can be seen in his interviews with them. He changed the minds of British governors. Jananivas said how he influenced this one viceroy to build a road in one day. See, the Britishers would think themselves the lord and masters of the Indians. But when they met Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that relationship turned around. He had this tremendous spiritual potency. Now, with this potency, he made a few changes, so to say, which are extremely relevant to the movement of Krishna consciousness. One of the most important principles of his preaching was the principle of yukta vairagya. That is, you take even seemingly material things and engage them to spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. For that end, for instance, he would dress his sannyasis in European gentleman cloth and hold a preaching program. And then at the last kirtan, he would make like this, and the sannyasis would jump up in their suits and dance and dance. That suits were flying in the air, you know, just danced real dancing. So he did this because at that time many Indians, especially the so-called educated Indians, followed the ways of the Westerners, and when they saw a westernized Indian, he was a sannyasi, but they didn't know, dance in the kirtan, they thought, I will also dance. This gentleman dances, obvious pleasure, I will also dance like him. He sent some of his sannyasis even in motors to the remote villages. And he enjoyed hearing always the printing press, which produced quantities of Vaishnav literature for distribution. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur even rented or bought a big steamship in Calcutta, British steamship, and made an exhibition of dolls on the steamship, and during the month of Kartik, millions of Calcutta people came to see the exhibition, being allured by the possibility to come on a British steamship and then seeing an exhibition on Krishna conscious subjects. Of course, this type of preaching brought him at loggerhead with the Babajis, who could not understand this mood. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who was a very strong preacher, went with a motor car in the village Radhakund, but he would never bathe in Radhakund, because he would say, I'm a sinner, my feet should not touch Srimati Radharani, who is the Radhakund, her love for Krishna. He therefore never bathed in Radhakund. But he drove in the village Radhakund. The Babajis made a big commotion of what? This sannyasi, he drives in a motor car, a British, very opulent car.
Jaguar car.
Powerful, sporty, fast car. The car of a sense enjoyer. You know, like, imagine one of you brahmacharis would get a super expensive Rolls Royce and drive into Mayapur, and then what is this? What is he? Who does he think he is? You know, immediately this very human reaction would come, even from us. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, it always arose the opposition of those who were not directly on the line of Roop and Sanatana Goswamis, although pretending to be so. His point was, for preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, we should use everything. We should not stay in some holy place and just live there for our own satisfaction. This was his message. He was very strong about this message. There were times when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would fall into ecstasy, but he would never show this on the Vyasasan. One time, when he fell into ecstasy, he made it a point to quickly run out of the room and go into his room and lock himself. And then a servant could see here uncontrollable weeping in ecstatic love of God. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wanted to establish a line which is based on doing the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for that, he purposefully steered away from the line of the Bhajananandi, which is a line where a devotee of Krishna wants to more take care of his development and enjoys bhajan. He saw that this line would not be conducive for spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in this age. In fact, he intelligently saw that it was people's spiritual life would be ruined if they would just sit down somewhere and listen about the Ashtakaliya Leela and hear about the confidential, loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Jagannatha Babaji had already told his disciples, when you begin to hear about the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and you are not yet qualified, then the shower of nectar will feed the seeds of lusty desires which are in your heart, and they will sprout out, and you will engage in sense gratificatory activities. Yes, this I thought is a very important understanding. Therefore, he did not give Siddha Pranali to his disciples, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, but said, our mantra, which brings us to siddhi, to perfection, is Trinadapi Sunichena. This was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. The great Acharya who steered Mahaprabhu's mission into a further episode in its history in Kali Yuga, whereby it would be able to reach even to the most fallen people, like this first specimen of the North European Mletcher race is sitting here. Yes, this is to be observed with an analytical understanding. So, to come to slowly the last road which will bring us to our goal, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur made his divine disappearance in the holy town of Puri. Only 14 days before his divine disappearance Leela, our Srila Prabhupada received a letter. This letter was an answer to Srila Prabhupada's discontent. Our Srila Prabhupada felt discontent. He had written, Srila Prabhupada, you have so many qualified disciples who push forward your mission in your service. But I am a Grihastha. At that time, the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was conducted mostly by brahmacharis and sannyasis. Grihasthas would stay a little on the side and come for darshans. Now we see that Radha Gopinath devotees, Grihasthas, are doing wonderful service. This is our Srila Prabhupada's invention. He engaged his Grihasthas in leading positions in bringing forth his mission. But at that time, our Srila Prabhupada felt frustration. I can't do anything, I'm just a Grihastha. What do you like me to do? And then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wrote back the same instruction which he had given the first meeting when our Srila Prabhupada was only 22 years. Preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the educated men, to the religionists, and to the people in general, through the English medium. This will do good for the world, and it will do good for you also. And Prabhupada took this message or mission of his spiritual master to heart. Much, much later, when he was sitting in his garden in Los Angeles, surrounded by sannyasis, being the leader of a worldwide movement, having his Western headquarters in this very opulent Los Angeles Radha Dwakadish Mandir. Later he said, with a voice which was breaking with emotion, if I have any credit, it is that I followed the orders of my spiritual master,